so happy to have all of you with us, and welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Magazine's Passion Series interview. Again, my name is Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and co-author of The Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, this interview series is an opportunity for you to learn what you need to do to discover your own passions and live your personal destiny by hearing from people who have been extremely successful at doing that in their own lives. And I have to say, I always love the reminder that the founder of Forbes magazine, Malcolm Forbes, gave us when he said, "The biggest mistake people make in life is not making a living at doing what they most enjoy." And that's one of our goals in this series, is to help you earn a living doing what you most enjoy. And our guest tonight is an expert at helping people do that. Dr. Ivan Meisner is the founder and chairman of BNI, Business Network International. And since 1985, BNI has built over 4,100 chapters around the world. Last year alone, BNI generated over 3.3 million referrals for its members, resulting in over $1.5 billion worth of business for its members. So there's a lot of people making a living doing what they love at BNI. Dr. Meisner got his PhD from the University of Southern California, and he's written 8 books, including his New York Times bestseller, The Masters of Networking, and his number one bestseller, Masters of Success. He's been called the father of modern networking by eAcademy.com and the networking guru by Entrepreneur Magazine. He is one of the world's leading experts on business networking. He's been a keynote speaker for major corporations and associations around the world. He's been featured in the LA Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, as well as many, many TV and radio shows, including CNN, CNBC, and BBC in London. So, Ivan, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It is my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's our pleasure and honor to have you with us. And I'm excited and thrilled that tonight's interview with Dr. Meisner is going to be conducted by a man I have great respect for, Dave Buck, the CEO of Coachville, one of the largest, most successful coaching organizations in the world. Dave,
yes,
it's
I'm
an
here.
Honor to have you as my co-host tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to you now to conduct our interview with Dr. Meisner.
Wow. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Very excited to be here. Ivan, how's it going, partner?
If I were doing any better, I'd cancel my life insurance.
You always say that.
Yeah. Now, listen, my life insurance agent is probably on the line. He's a BNI member. So just so you know, Mike, I'm just joking.
Good. Because I know you wouldn't do that, because I've met your family.
Yes.
And they are delightful, and I know you would not do that to them. So.
That's correct. But things are going great.
That's awesome. And I'm very excited to be with you. For those of you listening, Ivan and I are good friends. We've worked on several projects together, and so it's really a thrill for me to be able to interview Ivan for you. Ivan is an amazing human being. He's one of the best people I know, and it's just a thrill to be his friend, really. I'm very grateful for that, and grateful for the opportunity to just get a chance to talk with him for a little while. He's really pretty hard to get a hold of, so this is actually a good treat for me to get some FaceTime with Ivan. So Ivan, let's just get right into this. Obviously, we're in Chris's house tonight, and in Chris's house, the topic is passion.
Yes.
So we want to dive into this. I'm really actually very excited to find out about you from the passion perspective. So let's get right into it from, you know, just BNI is an incredible organization. I know it's a heck of a story how it all came together, and I'm sure that story will unfold as we're talking here today. But let's just get to the, you know, like the basics. How did your passion for life and for business fuel the creation of BNI?
Well, I was a management consultant in the early 80s, mid-80s, and I was looking for more business through referrals. And I think I really didn't understand just how much the average business person really needed referrals for their business. And I loved what I was doing. I was a management consultant.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, Dave, I was actually doing kind of coaching before the coaching industry.
No doubt.
I was a consultant. I mean, we call ourselves a consultant, but I was aiming at the smaller market, the market today that many coaches that you work with are aiming at, companies that, you know, maybe startup companies, it's just a single entrepreneur, all the way to maybe 100 employees.
Yes.
Probably only 5 to 10% of my entire clients were big, big companies. 90% of my companies that I worked with were small, and I loved helping consult with them and coach them on building their business. And that was my passion in the early 80s.
And I agree with you. I would say, you know, knowing you and having spent time with you, you are a coach. I mean, you, when I think about what is a coach is someone whose primary aim is to unleash the greatness in others. And that is what you do. And I'm sure that's what you were doing in your consulting work.
And yeah, I had never thought of it that way, but yeah, I like that. That's good. I certainly try to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, you do it. And, you know, and just, you know, for everyone listening, and it's really exciting, you know, it's a little bit strange having a chat with your good buddy in front of your, you know, 800 closest friends around the world, but I would say, you know, having been in Ivan's company, you know, in his office, you know, you walk in there, and, like, the place is just jazz. It's, like, not a normal company. It's, like, it's exciting. People are fired up. They love what they're doing. So when you hear Ivan's passion, you know, and you'll hear it as we continue to talk, but the thing you need to know is it's not just him. He infuses this in everything around him.
Well, and you know, it's funny that you say that, Dave, because I literally just came back from a movie. I just went to see a movie. I took my entire office staff. We had about 20 people. Took them out to lunch and then took them to a movie. Just because we had such a great year last year.
Right.
And, you know, this kind of thing helps build camaraderie and helps keep the passion for the business alive. And it keeps it focused on, you know, having a good time as well as doing a job. And
yeah.
When you have people having a good time, they do a good job.
Yeah, for sure they do. And the passion that you have for BNI has really been translated down to all the folks on staff there, because everyone I talk to there is really fired up. So it's not mysterious how that happens, because that happens from you and your passion for what you're doing. So I think, you know, like, let's get back to the basics. You know, what you started off as you had this great consulting practice. Well, how did that turn into BNI?
Yeah, I'd like to tell you that I had this vision of an international organization with 4,100 locations in 26 countries. But I'd be fibbing if that.
But that would be a lie.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, that's what we have now, 4,100 locations, 26 countries. But I absolutely did not have that vision when I started BNI. I was looking for some referrals for my consulting business, and I put together some people I trusted and people I knew, and they knew me. We trusted each other. We agreed to refer one another. We took only one person per flavor, so there was one lawyer, one banker, one chiropractor. We got together every week, and we passed each other referrals. And that was it. I thought that's all it would be. And someone came who couldn't join because of a conflict. She asked me, she said, wow, this is great. It's organized. It's structured. Would you help me open up my own group? And I said, yeah, sure, I can do that. And so we opened up another group. 25 people came to that second group, first meeting in the second group. Two people couldn't join, though, because of a conflict. And both of them said, wow, this is great. I could get a ton of business out of this. If you help me open up my own group, you can run four of these. I said, okay, I can do four of these plus my consulting practice. And we opened up two more. And both of those groups, three people came who couldn't join, two in one and one in the other. And all three of them said, wow, this is great. I could get a ton of business out of this. And it just
so there started to be a little pattern happening here.
Yeah, I realized that how passionate people were about referrals and about word of mouth and how important it was for their business. And I got to tell you, I understood at that time how important it was for me, but I hadn't really thought about how critical it was for most businesses. And we really pretty much opened 20 locations in the first year by accident.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's when I think that's when I started to get the vision. That's when I started to say, hey, you know, this could be bigger than just Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I really appreciate you sharing that, you know, that the idea that you didn't have this big vision, because I think vision is overrated. I really believe that. It is overrated. You know, you have so many people sitting around crafting and carving out these big visions. Sometimes you just got to start doing something. You know, Bill Gates just wanted an operating system for his computer. He didn't have a vision of a global software behemoth. You know, and you didn't have this vision for a huge thing. You just got started doing something that made sense.
Made sense, and I really enjoyed doing it. I think both of those things are real important. But the other thing is, you know, once you find something that you love doing, let me speak for myself. I found something that I loved doing, I wanted to see how I could improve it and make it bigger and spread it first around the United States and then worldwide. And that's where the vision started to come in. And for me, vision is just a matter of setting goals. You know, you set goals further out than you can actually see. And do they all come together? No. But the truth is, you're much more likely to hit a target that you actually set for yourself than a target that you don't set for yourself.
True.
And so from that perspective, I believe in vision. But vision, you know, vision is always 20/20 in hindsight only.
No doubt.
You don't get it all right in the beginning.
So I'm going to hereby confirm my premise that you are a coach. So,
well, thanks. I appreciate it.
You are definitely a coach. There's no doubt about that in my mind at this point. So, you know, I think you said an interesting thing. You know, you started off with just an idea to get some referrals, and you were passionate about your consulting, and then you're like, wow, this networking thing is pretty cool, and there's an opportunity here, plus you really were enjoying it. And I'm wondering, you know, if you're, because this, you know, today we're talking about passion, and I'm just wondering if as this business evolved and grew, did your passions change in some way, or did you add new passions, or has it always just been simply a passion for, you know, helping people get referrals?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes to the last, but also yes, it changed along the way.
Huh.
I think that's the one constant in the process is I believe that a successful company really stays on mission. And our mission is to help people increase their business through word of mouth. So we have stayed on mission with that. But me personally, yeah, my passions have changed over the years. My role has changed. It was really exciting to hear Chris introduce me as founder and chairman of BNI because
yes.
I just stepped up to the chairman role effective January 1st. I hired a CEO who's been with BNI since 1987, so he's been with the organization a long time. Norm Dominguez, great guy.
Yeah, Norm is a fantastic guy.
Perfect person to be the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're in a business for a long time, when you're doing the same thing for a long time, it's
yes.
easy to get stale.
Yes.
And for me, I want new adventures, but I want to stay on mission. So how do you stay on mission and have new adventures?
Well, that's a great question.
For me, it was a matter of changing my job description. And I got to tell you, I'm living the dream right now. I'm doing exactly the kinds of things that I want to be doing. It's taken me 21 years to get there.
Yes.
But I'm doing exactly the kinds of things that I want to be doing, which is really acting as the spokesman for BNI and not dealing. I am working much more on the business than in the business today, by far.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing as the outside guy. You know, you've got Norm in there running the show.
Yes.
And he's perfect for running the show.
Yes.
You know, and then you can be really the ambassador for BNI. But also, you know, I think you actually have a bigger role in the world than the ambassador for BNI because you have a particular perspective on business that I think is valuable, especially in this super connected internet age. There's something about face-to-face, meeting people, helping people in your community build their businesses while they help you build your business, sort of in the world, I think is so profound and so needed, and I'm really grateful for the work you do to keep the face-to-face side of business thriving, to kind of keep a balance with the hyper-connected, I've never met you, never seen you, but we're doing the business together, internet world.
Yeah, we truly do live in a high-tech, high-touch society. I believe it was Alvin Toffler who first coined that phrase.
Yes.
That we were moving, he said this 25 years ago, we were moving towards a high-tech, high-touch society. Well, we've arrived. We're there.
No doubt.
And you know, online networking, I believe in. So don't get me wrong. I believe it's a great way to connect with other people. However, I don't believe it's the only way. I believe
yes.
that you still need to actually connect with people face-to-face. I think most business people are basically cave dwellers.
Yes.
They get up in the morning. They're in this large cave with a big screen TV.
Right.
They go out to their garage. They get into this little cave with four wheels called their car.
Right.
They drive to this other really big cave with computers called their office. They stay there all day long. At the end of the day, they get back into their little cave with four wheels. They drive back to their large cave with a big screen TV. And they can't figure out why no one is referring them. Well, networking is a contact sport.
Yes.
You've got to get belly-to-belly with people and talk to them if you want to build trust and relationships with them.
Nice. I totally agree. As a matter of fact, we have an initiative at Coachville, you know, also to do the same thing, to, you know, open a city director program where we get face-to-face. And, in fact, you know, I know I was just telling you this morning, but I think it's great for people to know, you know, we have people joining Coachville. We have 30, 40 people join Coachville every day. And we call every one of them and ask them, how did they hear about us? And as it turns out, about 25% of the people from the U.S. who joined Coachville heard about us through someone in BNI.
Well, that's good to hear. Word of mouth works.
It is working. It is definitely working for us. So
well,
it's
we're
really
glad
an incredible thing.
We're glad to hear that. And I think part of the reason for that is the community that we've developed at Coachville, the social capital community. And if the listeners here want to go visit the social capital community, it's free to participate in many of the functions, including we do monthly fear buster calls, networking fear buster calls for people who have some fears about networking. They can throw them out there, and we talk about them on a telebridge just like this, and you can actually ask questions. And that's on the community that we set up at Coachville called the Networking and Social Capital Community. Your listeners can go to it by going to networkingcommunity.com or by going to Coachville. And we really do focus on educating people on how to do this better.
It's great. And I did want to ask you about that. There's a couple of things that I want to talk with you about, because I want to talk about how do people learn how to become a great networker. That's one thing I want to talk with you about. But before we get into that, you know, whenever you talk to someone successful, and I talk to successful people all the time, you always get this idea like it's always been this way. You know, it's like, oh, they've just always been successful. But you and I know we've had some great conversations, and I just would like to share some of the things we've discussed, you know, with everyone here today, that it wasn't always so rosy.
No.
You know?
Well, I'm a 20-year overnight success.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And in fact, you know, I love your book,
and I'm always grateful.
The Master of Success. I'm always grateful as you pass on all of your books to me. So it's one of the good things about being friends with Ivan. You get a lot of free books. So, but Master of Success, there's a place in that book that I really liked where you describe a story where someone visits your home and says, "Oh, Ivan, you're so lucky."
Yeah.
You know,
now you gotta point out though, you know that because I told you at one point that he was talking about my home. But in the book, I don't mention that it was my home that he was looking at and pointing at. But you've given a little tidbit to everybody that's in the book that, or that's not in the book, which is good.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I'm giving them a good reason to pick up the book, because Masters of Success is a wonderful book. It's very informative and inspiring. But you know, I want to touch on this topic with you, because this idea of, you know, you're so lucky to have all this is it's not really true.
No. In this story that you're talking about that I write about in the book, I had a friend who looked around. He was looking at my house. He said, "Wow, man, you're really lucky." And I looked at him and I thought, wow, you know, he really doesn't get it. And I said to him, I said, "Yeah, I'm lucky. Would you like to know my secret to my luck?" And he said, yeah, I'd love to know your secret. He said, "Here it is. Okay. First, I went to college for 10 years. During that time, I started a couple of businesses. And then during the next two decades, I worked about 60 hours a week, mortgaged my house a couple of times for the business, and wrote 8 books. If you apply that kind of effort to whatever you do, you can be just as lucky."
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And you know the funny thing is? The guy didn't get it.
He didn't get it.
No, he heard me, but it just went through. He's like, no. I hear what you're saying, but now there's got to be something else. You just had good breaks, and you just had this. And I don't think he was paying attention that it's really, and I talk about this a lot in the book, that success is about making good choices and hard work. And you got to do both.
You do.
Not just one. People work really hard all their life, and they keep making really stupid choices.
For
and
sure.
They can't figure out why they're not successful.
I am going to once again confirm my theory that you are a coach. So, yeah, it's about making great choices. And I think, you know, just kind of returning to our, to Chris's house here and talking about passion. So, yeah, you've mortgaged your home a couple of times. You've worked the 60 hours a week. The fuel's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? So the fuel to go through those obstacles, and I think I talk about the same thing with me. People go, "Oh, Dave, you have Coachville. You're so lucky." I'm saying, yeah, 10 years ago I was living in my car, you know, and, you know, eating one meal a day at all-you-can-eat diners. So
right.
If you want to call that luck, then I guess I'm pretty darn lucky, you know. So it's the passion that gets us through these times. And so I think, you know, it would be great to hear some of the challenges that you've faced and how your passion got you through them.
Oh, you know, we've certainly had a lot of challenges. And any successful person, anybody that's running a successful business has had many challenges in their life. I certainly have. All the way from the very beginning, you know, finding the right people in any company is always difficult. And when you're, you know, as we're growing and becoming national and then international, continually finding the correct people is a problem. Creating a system. One of the things that I did early on was really listen to Michael Gerber in his book, The E-Myth, where he talks about write everything down. When you're doing something, write it down so that you can make it replicable. And as you grow, you can replicate that. And I thought, you know what, I should do that. And he even says in there, do it like you're going to create a franchise. Even if you're never planning on franchising, do it as though you were going to franchise. And I took that to heart, and I started doing it. And you know what? 5 years later, I was franchising. And one of the reasons that made it so easy to start franchising was the fact that I had done all of this work that was suggested by Gerber in one of his books, and it made the franchising process very easy. But it was a lot of work along the way, you know, creating the systems, trial and error. If you ever look at there's probably a number of listeners here that are BNI members. If you ever visit a BNI group or you go to a BNI group, if you ever look at it and you say, wow, this is really good, this is really organized, it's because we've screwed up so much along the way.
Yes, there you go.
We got it right, you know. If you make enough mistakes, you can finally get it right. And let me tell you, we made so many mistakes along the way. We just had no idea what we were doing as we were creating it, but we had such a passion for what we were doing that I think a lot of people were forgiving for the mistakes that we made.
Yes.
Some weren't, but many were.
Yes, it's a very good point. It reminds me of one of my mentors always says, anything worth doing is worth doing wrong.
A couple of times,
at least for a little while.
Yeah. So, well, we've certainly done that. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you and me both. But, you know, I think it's a good point. You know, when you look at building something and all the trial and error and all the mistakes and all the, you know, pissed off customers along the way and trying to get them back and keeping them, you know, often it's your passion for what you're doing that lets people stay with you, you know, even through the chaos.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, if you can, I've dealt with members who were very, very unhappy about something or another, and I'm pleased to say that I think sometimes I'm able to turn them around because of the passion that I have for the organization and talking to them from a perspective of how to make this work, how to see the glass half full rather than half empty, and how to make it work for them.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And you know, but when you talk about your passion for your business, I have to say, knowing you, that your passion goes way beyond the business. And your passion for people and for the members of BNI, like every member and every chapter, is just you have this incredible desire for them to learn how to be great networkers, to build thriving businesses. And so, you know, how do you do that? I know what your passion's all about, but how do you actually teach people to be great networkers? And what was the number you said? How much money was passed through BNI last year? Incredible number.
Right. Well, we don't have the number now for 2005 because it just ended. But
the
number that Chris gave was our 2004 numbers.
Wow.
We passed 3.3 million referrals and generated $1.5 billion worth of business for our members worldwide. Now that's the same as the gross domestic product for the country of Liechtenstein.
Wow.
Okay.
So you guys are like a country now.
That's right. It's a small country, Dave. I know, but you know what's really cool to me is that a group of business people from a lot of different countries could get together every single week, get to know one another, trust one another, build relationships with one another, and actually pass as much business to each other as a small nation in the world. That just blows me away.
That's incredible. So how do you do it?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it is education. You have to teach people how to do this. In the BNI system, in our program, it's system and education. You have to have a process. You have to have a way to show them that is replicable and consistent. And you have to educate them because we don't teach people how to do this in the colleges and universities anywhere in the world.
Oh, you didn't know I had a networking class in high school?
Yeah, I don't think so. There's really only one or two colleges in the United States, and there may be a couple worldwide, but I don't know of any, that teach a core curriculum college course. Now, I'm not talking about just a one-of class, you know,
yeah.
that they just teach it one night. It's a special seminar. I'm talking about a core curriculum college course
mm.
on social capital or on business networking. There's only a couple.
It's
in
really
the United
incredible.
States.
It's yeah, incredible that it's not there. It's so essential.
Yeah, if you ask the average business person, what's one of the most important ways for you to get your business, 9 out of 10 will tell you word of mouth.
Right.
And if you say, okay, well, how do you build your business through word of mouth? Most people don't really have a clue
mm.
how to build their business through word of mouth because they haven't been taught in college or in any universities or certainly by their company. Their company teaches them how to cold call, but they don't teach them how to build it through referrals. At least most companies don't. And I think that it's very important that there is an educational component
yeah.
to what we do to help teach people how to network effectively.
And it takes practice.
Yeah,
there's,
a lot of practice.
There's methods that you need to learn. There's techniques. And, you know, if you're serious about creating wealth, this is something you must learn. And you know, at Coachville, we always talk about a learning environment, right? It's one thing to pick up a book, and you can learn from a book, but most people don't learn well that way. They need to be in it. They need to be engrossed in it. They need to live it. And I think that's the great thing about BNI is that, you know, you live it every week. You're at a meeting. You're talking with people. You're practicing. You're trying out your, you know, how you explain what you do. You're actually actively engaged in looking for referrals for all of your colleagues, and it's the practice and the environment, I think, that creates the sustainable success, and that's what you guys have done so brilliantly.
Well, I really appreciate that, and that is important to us. But I, you know, we have many people that probably aren't involved in BNI, and I must say, I'd love to have you in BNI. But there are other networking groups too that you can help to build your business through referrals. One of the things that I recommend to people is that you diversify your networks, that you participate in a couple of different kinds of groups. And the key here is different.
Yeah.
Don't go out and join two or three groups just like BNI. It's one of the reasons why we won't let people join two chapters of BNI, because it creates a lot of challenges in and out of the organization. But go join a chamber of commerce. Go join a service club. Diversify the kinds of networks that you participate in so that you can start to build roots throughout the community.
Yeah.
And create relationships. And BNI, we're meeting weekly, but there are other networks out there as well that people can consider. And I tell my BNI members, go join the local chamber, go join a local Rotary or other service clubs.
I think that's so true. And you know, at Coachville, we do the same thing. We have diverse communities, and we encourage people to join several communities because I think it's that cross-fertilization that makes life so rich. And it's so key to creating business.
Yeah,
you just never know where business is going to come from.
Oh, you don't. And you hit the nail on the head. It's that cross-fertilization. You'll meet a whole different group of people in a group like BNI than you will at the local chamber or you will in a service club. And so it's that cross-fertilization that helps make the kinds of connections that you want. Networks are, by nature, clumpy. They're cluster-like.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, my friends tend to be each other's friends. Your friends tend to be each other's friends.
Right.
They know we tend to go in circles that know each other. Interestingly enough, however, if you really want a very powerful network, what you want to do is create connections between clusters of
yes.
people. And so the more diversity you have in your personal network, the stronger your personal network. And when I say diversity, I mean diversity in many ways. Certainly the traditional forms of diversity, in terms of gender and race, ethnicity, those kinds of things, but also diversity in types of professions. You know, if you're a salesperson going after, you know, the big corporate market, sometimes they forget about making connections with, a painting contract or somebody else because they feel that these people don't have contacts. Interestingly enough, in BNI, one of the biggest referrals that was given out last year came from a Mary Kay consultant.
No kidding.
She sells cosmetics, for God's sake. And yet it was one of the biggest referrals. She happened to be doing the cosmetics for a woman whose husband was a movie producer.
Uh-huh.
And she referred, he happened to walk by complaining about the graphic artist that they were using, and she referred him to the BNI member, and it was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No way.
One referral. Yeah, and it came from a Mary Kay consultant.
Nice.
So So you never know where great referrals can come from. The key is to have diversity in your network, and don't look at just, you know, you don't have to just try and network with top CEOs. Network with quality business people that are different, that have different contacts that you than you do, that run with different people than you do, because then you are building connections between the clumps or clusters of networks that exist around you.
Really good point. You really just never know. It's one of those things. It's like you don't want to judge people by their title, their position. Maybe you don't want to judge people at all, but it's like the way you want to determine who you're going to be around. I think it goes right along with the theme of this group. It's like people who are passionate.
Yeah.
People who are passionate about what they do, whether it's Mary Kay or graphic arts,
yeah,
or making movies or painting houses. If you're passionate about what you do, those are the people you want in your network.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if they're passionate about what they do and you're passionate about what you do, they will be passionate about what you do also.
Yes.
You know?
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You have to find the right people for your network, and by right, I mean people with the right mindset. To me, networking is about two key elements. It is about mindset and skill set.
Very nice.
You have to have both. You have to have the right mindset, and then you have to apply a certain skill set if you really want to build a powerful network, and both of those things are really important. The mindset, to me, is all about understanding what is called in social capital theory the law of reciprocity.
Nice.
In BNI, we use a two-word phrase for the law of reciprocity, and that is giver's gain.
Oh, that's catchy. I like that.
It's powerful. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to any BNI or chapter anywhere in the world and you were to say, tell me what the philosophy of this organization is in a couple words, I'd be shocked if the majority of the chapter didn't tell you giver's gain. That if you want to get business, you have to be willing to give business to other people. It's predicated on that age-old concept of what goes around comes around. And that's a mindset that most business people don't understand and utilize, and that's one of the reasons why their networks are not as powerful as they could be. Their own personal network is not as powerful as it could be.
Very nice. It's a great point. As a matter of fact, you know, it's right in line with what we talk about with coaching. You know, with coaches, we have so many of our coaches are BNI members, so it's great. We have just such amazing synergy in our organizations. But in coaches, we're always talking about find a way to add value. Don't worry about what you're going to get in return.
Right.
Find a way to add value to other people's lives, and that's how you build a thriving business.
Right. Now, and then if you pick and choose the people around you that have a similar philosophy,
yes,
it will come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't want to build relationships with people that you know are just takers. They're there just to get, not to give.
Yeah.
So build relationships with people who you believe have that same kind of mindset, and it absolutely will come back to you tenfold. There's no question in my mind. And I'm the least new age kind of guy you'll ever meet.
It's true.
Really is. And Chris will tell you, I'm the least new age kind of guy you'll. But the law of reciprocity really works.
It does.
If you surround yourself with people that are willing to help you, it's amazing how much business can be done by people who have that same kind of mindset.
So let's go on this topic for a moment, because this is really curious to me. Because I mean, as a coach, obviously I go a lot on intuition, on feeling. I get a sense of someone. But how would you recommend someone, if you meet someone at a networking event or you meet someone at a social gathering, how do you know if they've got the mindset? What are some of the cues that you would, if you're talking to someone, how do you know?
You absolutely don't. And that's part of the problem. I think most people are out there looking to bag the big one at mixers. You know, they're trying to get that big sale. And networking is about relationship building. I think one of the most important things that I have learned in the last 21 years is that it is not what you know. It is not what you know or who you know. It's not what you know or who you know. It's how well you know them that really counts. It's getting to know people. So when you meet somebody casually at a mixer or at some event, you really don't know, and you can't expect to know. The only way you're going to know if you're dealing with somebody that has that kind of mindset is over time.
I see.
And one of the things that I talk about in a book, in my book Business by Referral, and I also have this on a at entrepreneur.com. If you go to my website, BNI.com, and you'll see on the right-hand side a banner ad for entrepreneur.com. If you don't see it, just refresh the screen once or twice. Click on it, and you'll see about 50 articles I've written. One of them is on this subject, and that is the idea of establishing what I call the VCP process of networking. V as in Victor, C as in Cat, P as in Paul.
What does that stand for?
Visibility, credibility, profitability.
Uh-huh.
Most people, when they meet people in a networking environment, think that they can just try to close them on a sale right there when they have just established, barely established, a visibility relationship. You've just met. If you want to have reciprocal referrals passed over time with people, you have to go through those first two phases before you can hit that third phase. You have to be visible in the community, establish credibility with individuals, and only when you've been visible and established credibility can you reach the point where you are in a profitability relationship with other people. And all too often, people try to go, you know, from A to Z immediately, and they can't understand why this isn't working for them. And
it's a
totally
very good point.
Totally
it's a
wrong.
Great point. Yeah, you know, it's because it takes time. It takes time to get to know someone, to feel comfortable. Credibility takes time. You have to prove yourself over time. You can't just go to one networking event and go, oh, I didn't get any referrals. This isn't going to work.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's funny because many people, they really don't get that. And what's funny is that even people that you'd think should know. I had someone who works part-time for my company. I'm going to probably get in trouble for saying this because they may be around. They work part-time for my company, and I barely know this individual, and they contacted me recently and asked if I would promote his business service within the organization. And I considered this person a business associate, but definitely not someone I knew very well. And that request was made. That request made me think about how people assume that if they've just met you or if they, you know, you're in their database, that you can ask them for something that only a close associate would be willing to do.
Great point.
And that happens too often. We ask people to do things for us that you really should only ask a close associate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want people to refer you and put you in touch with really strong contacts, by golly, you better get to know them fairly well, because when I give a referral to someone, I give a little of my reputation away.
That's a very good point.
If I give a good referral, the referral I give does a great job, it enhances my reputation. If the referral I give does a bad job, it hurts my reputation. So I have to be very careful when I refer someone to someone else. Everybody has to be careful when they refer someone to someone else. And that's why it's very important to understand that you're not going to know their mindset until you establish credibility with them and they establish credibility with you.
Got it.
That's when you know whether you can do it or not.
That's a great point. And that takes time. It takes, you know, gradual steps, little things here and there, getting to know someone. I never really thought about that, but that really now makes sense why the BNI is a weekly thing.
Yeah, well, we live in a soundbite society, you know. Everything's got to be quick and short, and, you know, it's almost a get-rich-quick kind of a mentality. And networking is not that. Building your business through relationships is absolutely not that. I see a lot of people who try to network, and here's the analogy that I use. It's kind of like they'll join a networking group, whether it be BNI or the Chamber or some organization, and after they're in for a year, they haven't gotten a lot of business, so they go, well, it's not working here. I'm going to go join a different group.
Oh, it's the worst thing they could do.
Yeah, right. It's like this. It's like planting a citrus tree. Okay, you care for it. You give it love and attention, and you know, water it and fertilize it. After a year, how much fruit are you going to get?
None.
Almost none.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like looking at the tree and going, well, it's not doing well here, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to rip it out by the roots, and I'm going to go plant it over there, because if it didn't grow well here, it'll grow better over there. And then after the second year, how much is it going to get? Not much. And so they rip it out again and move it again. Networking is about building roots. It's about breadth and depth. It's not just about getting out there and connecting with a lot of people, but it's about connecting. It's about it's not just about contacts. It's about connections.
That's a very nice distinction.
And I would differentiate it as contact is somebody you know, but a connection is somebody that you've established credibility with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to create that depth. I don't know if you guys have read or heard in the news, but we have a lot of winds going here in Southern California right now. Big winds. Trees are knocking over and everything. And every year I notice all the eucalyptus trees that fall over.
Mm-hmm.
These big, gorgeous eucalyptus trees, gigantic trees. But you know why they always fall over in the Santa Ana winds? Because they have no depth in their roots. Their roots go very broad. They fan out, but they don't go deep. So every time there's a big wind, they blow over. I think that's the perfect analogy for businesses. Time gets tough, and we've built breadth in our root system, in our networking system, but not depth. And when times are tough, the business blows over because you haven't built the roots.
It's a really important point about, you know, building wealth. You know, because wealth in, you know, your wealth in your connections is in the depth. You know, and that's how you build financial wealth also.
Yes, yeah. What you just described is social capital. And social capital is the accumulation of resources that are developed through personal and professional networks.
Great point.
And they include ideas, knowledge, information, opportunities, contacts, and, of course, referrals. That's all part of social capital, which there's certainly a crossover between that concept and financial capital. You have to invest in it the same way.
Yeah, exactly. Very nice. So it's really investing in yourself and investing in people.
Yes.
You know, which is really, you know, just a little, you know, sidebar why we're so excited about coaching and teaching people how to coach, because being able to coach others, help them out, you know, even if you're not a professional coach, just having coaching skills is a way to add value to your connections. Just the way you approach life of unleashing the greatness in others is a way to create depth in your social capital.
Yeah, isn't, in a way, a manager of any business a coach?
Indeed.
Yeah, and so coaching skills, I think, really help anyone who has a sales force or employees under them. It's all about the management process and educating and bringing people along.
Any kind of a team.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Any kind of a team. And this really is, you know, it's interesting, this whole topic of social capital, we often talk about the information age or the information economy, and my theory is that we're moving into a new age, the age of collaboration. And I think the age of collaboration is really, it's coming, and people are collaborating left and right. It's just huge with the internet, but now also locally, collaboration is just creating a huge burst of creativity.
Yeah, and I think some of that's come from downsizing of big companies.
I totally agree.
You get, you know, I've seen in my last 20-some years a lot of small businesses, people who started a small business because they were just downsized from some company. Now, they're a one-person or two-person shop, and they have an opportunity to take on a big job that's too big for them, so what do? They collaborate with another company so that the two independent companies who never merge can work one company, one client, one project together, and through this collaboration be more successful.
Yeah, and the way you get into those collaborations is by being in a great network.
You're absolutely right. By having a strong personal network, which is in part made up of the kinds of networks that you participate in.
So it's not just, see, I think what's happening with referrals now is not just, oh, I have a lead for you.
Yeah.
It's just as much now as I have a project I need you in.
Yeah. Yeah, and we, you know, leads are okay, but they're not what I usually look for to, and let me differentiate, it's a matter of semantics. And you're absolutely correct. Lead is kind of the low end of the totem pole, because with a lead it's, hey, here's somebody who's coming into town. I don't know them. I don't know anything about them. You can't use my name because they don't know me.
Right.
And that's the low end of the totem pole, just as you kind of described there. What's better is, you know, moving up that totem pole to, here's a referral. They're expecting your call. You know, they want to talk to you about doing business. That's the higher end of it. And so referrals are much more powerful than leads.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, like we're saying, it's not just someone who might want to buy from you, but it could be someone who wants to work with you.
Yes.
You know, on a project. And I think that's really, you know, the age of collaboration. And I kind of have my nickname for it, which is the age of team. You know,
yeah.
I think people are getting involved, creating teams and, you know, putting a team together to work on a project. And you get into these teams through your social capital. And it only happens when you have those two things, the visibility and the credibility, because people don't want you on their team unless they think you're an impact player.
That's right. And then once you've established those two levels, that's what leads to the profitability relationship. Where
yeah, it's very nice.
What happens too often is people go straight, they try to go straight from visibility to profitability. You know, we've met, you know who I am, like we should be doing business together. Well, you've just bypassed the most important phase, which is credibility.
So how do you do that? How do you, you know, I think you're making a good point. Most people skip that step, and I think also, you know, referral marketing doesn't come naturally to many people. There's something that there's a block to it, or there's something that gets in the way they need to learn, or something like a mental block. So how do you help people, you know, get past that thing? It doesn't come naturally, but they need to learn how to give, how to add value, how to ask, how to connect. How do you help people do that?
Well, that's a 2-hour celebrage right there. But let me give you a few of the key points. First is that you have to have many touch points with your associate, the person that you're looking for as giving and getting referrals. The more touch points you have, the more likely you are to be building relationships. And by touch points, that's a phrase that's often used with client services, customer services, where you're touching the customer, you're connecting with the customer. Well, the same thing applies to your referral sources, that you have to have regular touch points with your referral sources. If you only talk to them once a year,
That's not a lot of touch.
No, you're not going to have much of a relationship. And if you talk to them, and every time you talk to them, you're asking them for a favor, you're going about it completely wrong. Mm-hmm. So you need a lot of touch points. That may be, you know, dropping them a note, giving them a call. One of the reasons I love networking groups and why I started BNI is that it's a natural touch point. You create a virtual main street. You look down the table, and there's the local banker and chiropractor and travel agent, of course. And every week is a touch point. So, you know, other organizations like the chamber and the service clubs and those kinds of organizations, you have to view those meetings as touch points, the opportunity to make contact with somebody. And that contact that you make, and let's say you want to do business with them really bad, the worst thing you could do is meet them on the second try and try to turn them into a client or customer.
It's sort of like dating.
Yeah, you're going to scare that guy off, you know, you're going to scare that woman off if you come on too strong. So, yeah, that's the beginning is touch point. But there are many other things that you can do for your clients or customers, or I should say your referral sources.
Yes.
Many other things that you want to remember. Here's one. I'm working on a book called Truth or Delusion.
Nice.
The Truth or Delusion, the facts about networking.
Okay.
Or real-life networking, that's what it's going to be called. And one of them is this. It involves the golden rule.
Okay.
And it says truth, and the way it works is we ask these series of questions. Is this truth or is this delusion? So here
right.
it is. Truth or delusion? You should treat your referral sources by the golden rule. Treat them as you would like to be treated. True? Is that truth or delusion?
Well, it sounds like it should be truth, but I bet you it's a delusion.
You're good, Dave. It is delusion. I call it the platinum rule. You don't treat your referral sources like you want to be treated. You have to treat your referral sources like they want to be treated.
Oh, good point.
Because if you treat them the way you want to be treated, you may be treating them totally wrong.
Uh-huh.
One of the examples that we gave was, or that we're going to be giving in this book, is this woman who got thank yous. And here's another thing for a referral source. If a referral source sends you a referral, by God, you ought to send them some kind of thank you, even
right.
if it's just a thank you card.
Yeah, something.
Something. I did a survey in Business by Referral, and we asked 2,000 business people whether they were happy with the amount of referrals they were getting. 80% said no. And in a different question that we did not think was related, we found in this different question we asked, do you give any kind of thank you gift or just a thank you card if you get a referral from someone? 20% said they did. Now, I don't know about you, but that feels like a possible correlation.
I think you've got a little correlation working there.
80% aren't happy with the referrals they're getting, and 20% give some kind of thank you. So here this woman that I'm talking about in the book we're working on is, she got two thank yous. She had given some referrals, and she got two thank yous. One was a beautiful scarf, absolutely gorgeous scarf, in this really nice blue, very expensive scarf. Now, the funny thing is the woman who got the scarf realized that the woman who gave it loves scarves and wears this color a lot and realized that, you know, she gave something that she absolutely loved. She saw it at the store, loved it, and thought that she, my friend, would like it.
Okay.
She hated it. She doesn't wear scarves.
Okay?
And it was a very expensive scarf, and she, now, mind you, she appreciated the gesture.
Yes.
But she didn't really like it. Now, somebody else, on the other hand, went out and got her a book on Greece. He happened to find out that he talked to a friend of hers, and he said, tell me something about her that you know, most people don't really know. And he said, she has this dream about spending a month in Greece.
Wow,
so
that's
he went
brilliant.
Out and he bought a book, a table book, you know, hardcover book, that was probably less than this very expensive scarf. A table book, and gave it to her of all of the cities of Greece. She has that sitting prominently in her living room at home.
Yes.
Don't treat people like you want to be treated. Treat people like they want to be treated.
Wow.
Find out what turns them on, what excites them. Find out what they're passionate about. That's really what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what they're passionate about, and see if that touch point that you make can touch that passion.
That is smart. That's really smart.
So there's a couple of things. There's a lot of other ideas, too, but there's a few things that you can do with your referral sources to help keep them, build them. Just remember, it takes time. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme.
This is a very, very good point you're bringing up. This is, you know, it's probably a strange word to use in business, but I, you know, what you're talking about to me, I would call intimacy.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
you really get to know what people care about.
Yes.
When you start getting into what people are passionate about, either by asking them or even going so far as to ask someone else like this guy did, you know, hey, what is she passionate about? Well, do you know? And then, oh, yeah, she loves Greece. Well, that's really getting to know someone. That's a level, that's a degree of intimacy that is a real connection.
Yes, and that thank you gift really made an impression on her.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think she's going to really go out of her way to give him a referral again? Absolutely.
For sure she is.
Absolutely. She sees it every day. She sees that gift every single day. It reminds her every day of the gift.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing that you bring up Greece, because one of the things I'm fascinated with you and your expansion, because we're just launching in Israel next week, and I'm going to be there. I'm really excited about that. But you guys are in how many countries now? 26, 27 countries?
26 countries. It's Mr. Toad's wild ride.
Yeah. So is there any difference in how people should network, because there's people calling in from all over the world. Do the rules change? Is networking different in Morocco than in France than in U.S.? Is it? Because I would assume that cultural differences impact how you would do referrals.
Yes, there certainly are cultural differences. There's no doubt about that. However, you have to understand the context of what we're talking about. If you're talking about someone from one country networking with someone from another country, those cultural differences come into play.
Okay.
And they can be problematic in some ways. But what I'm talking about with the kind of networking programs that I've put together and that exist all around the world is applying an overlay or a system on top of the cultural context. So things aren't being done outside the culture, they're being done inside the culture.
Uh-huh.
Let me see if I can explain what I mean.
Yeah.
I happen to have the opportunity to have lunch with Brian Tracy about a year or two ago, one-on-one lunch, him and I. Guy's a brilliant man. He's very, very intelligent.
He's huge.
No, he is. And you know, he's sharp as a tack. He's very, very intelligent. And he is multilingual. He speaks several languages. By the way, you know, if you speak two languages, what do you call it in English? Bilingual, right?
Yes.
If you speak three languages, what are you called in English?
Multilingual?
Trilingual.
Trilingual.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what you're called if you speak one language? American.
American.
Okay. Well, Brian Tracy, he speaks several languages, one of which is German. And I was having lunch with him, and I was dying to ask him this question because I found that in BNI, our system works identically worldwide. And I was curious as to why he thought that was the case. And so I asked him, before I asked him about BNI, I said, you do your training in Germany, and I understand that you do it in German. And he said, yeah. And I asked him, do you change up any of the words at all? Do you change up any of the phrases or the content? And what do you think he said?
He said, yes, of course we do.
He said, no, not a word.
Come on.
Yeah, and I was surprised by that. I said, you don't change anything. He said, nothing except, you know, translation changes. You got to be careful with translation changes. And when we talk about some of the problems, I'll tell you about that. But he said, other than translation issues, I don't change a single word when I do my seminar on closing techniques or on sales techniques in Germany compared to what I do in the United States or any other world. And I said, I'm really curious because this really applies to my company. Why? Why is it that it works there? He said, it's simple. If you're talking about an entrepreneurial economy, now, he said, granted, if we're talking about a country that does not have an entrepreneurial history, that's a whole different ballgame. So let's assume we're talking about a country that has an entrepreneurial history, and certainly West Germany had a very strong entrepreneurial history.
Yes.
And all of Germany today is very entrepreneurial from my experience in visiting there. And he said, if you're talking about a country that's an entrepreneurial history, all business people, all entrepreneurs want to do things more efficiently and more effectively.
Nice.
And if you can teach them a system that allows them to be more efficient or more effective, they will embrace it. And I thought, that's it. That's BNI. We've created a system. We've created a networking system that is efficient and effective. And I think this is important to the listeners because it doesn't matter what business you're in. If you want to do business internationally, create a system that helps people in some way be more efficient or more effective. Now, you still have to deal with their perceived cultural differences. Mind you, there are cultural differences, but sometimes they use cultural differences as an excuse for not doing what needs to be done to make it work, and we've certainly had that in BNI. But if you can make things more efficient or more effective, many things transcend the cultural differences, and BNI operates identically all around the world.
You use the same system everywhere?
Everywhere. I was in Sweden a couple of years ago, and it was really exciting because it was my first visit to a country that was completely non-English speaking, and I don't speak Swedish. And you know, if you don't speak Swedish, you know, it sounds like Swedish. You know, it's very foreign. I mean, it's not like I'm from Southern California, so we know a little Spanish, and you know, you can understand a few words here or there. And French is kind of incorporated into the English language in a few words, but Swedish isn't.
Yes.
And so it's really hard to make it up. So or to understand what they're saying. So I'm listening to this entire presentation in Swedish, and one of the members leans over to me, kind of conspiratorially. And he whispers, you have no idea what he's talking about, do you? And I said, yeah, he's introducing the referral part of the meeting. He's explaining how a referral slip works and how we're going to go around. If you have a referral, you give it. If you don't, you give a testimonial. And he said, whoa, you know Swedish? I said, no, I wrote the agenda.
Nice.
And I nailed it. I knew exactly what he, and what the beautiful thing about it was, I knew exactly what he was doing, even though I had no idea what he was saying.
That's great.
And the system does work universally, and I think most entrepreneurs do want to do things more effectively and more efficiently. And as long as you don't go into the process, if you're doing business internationally, you don't go into it like the arrogant American trying to tell them how to do it right.
Indeed.
But rather try to coach them and guide them and give them suggestions. You know, diplomacy is the art of letting someone else have your way.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into it with that approach. Businesses all around the world have embraced the system that we've created.
That's fantastic. That's a great story. I've never heard you tell that one. I really like that.
But we have had some difficult experiences.
Like?
With the cultural stuff. Well, you got to be careful with slang, okay?
Uh-huh.
I keep getting myself in trouble with slang. I was talking to a South African director for BNI, and we had a director from New York with us, big, burly guy. And we were on the phone, and he knew the gentleman. We were talking to him on the phone, and we said to his name was Mike. We said, Mike, listen, we'll keep you in the loop on this.
Oh.
He was kind of silent, right? And for those who aren't from the U.S., keeping you in the loop is we'll keep you informed. Okay?
Yes.
So he said, okay, and he hung up. And he calls me back about a week or two later, and he said, man, I finally figured out what you meant when you said you were going to keep me in the loop. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I should know better by now. I used a slang term, and you don't have that expression in South Africa. And he says, oh, no, we have that expression in South Africa.
And what does it mean?
I said, oh, God, what's it mean? He said, well, you and Lance just said you were going to keep me pregnant.
Nice.
I had to assure him that wasn't our intention.
or maybe pregnant with new business.
Yeah. So, you have to be careful about those kinds of things. Certainly terminology and words, you can really get yourself in trouble. For example, in Sweden, talking about Sweden earlier, they don't have an expression for word of mouth. There is no
Swedish
expression for word of mouth. So they translated it, and you'll love this. Their translation for word of mouth is mouth to mouth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we had to explain that has a whole different connotation in the United States.
Very nice. That's really quite... But, you know, here's the thing. It's fun.
It is fun.
It's fun, and I can really tell, you know, we're talking about passion here, and we talk about you and everything you're doing and going global and impacting people all over the planet with your technology and your system. It's an amazing thing that you've done, and I have just great regard, you know, for you as a human being and as a business person for sure. But, you know, getting down to the basics then, you know, if here we have a bunch of people we're talking with, and if we're going to say, look, here's a couple of things you need to do, what would you say? How do you get started with this?
All right. The first thing is understanding that it is both a mindset and a skill set. So you have to go into it with the understanding of the law of reciprocity. This is not a transactional process, a tit-for-tat process. I call that coin-operated networking. Let me put the coin in and let me get the candy. You know, so it's not that. It's a mindset of giver's gain. And then the skill set. So what's the skill set? Well, we talk about some of the things. We certainly talk about things like the touch points and the VCP, visibility, credibility, profitability. But I think the most important thing, and it's a short answer that is a long process, and that is that you really have to create your own word-of-mouth marketing plan, your own referral plan. Business people will sit down and they'll create an entire business plan, and there'll be nothing in there about referral development.
Good point.
And the process for generating it. How are they going to build their business through word of mouth? Most people think that word of mouth is really important, but it's kind of like the weather. You know, it's out there and there's not much you can do about it. Well, there is a lot you can do about it. So you have to sit down and write this word of mouth marketing plan. One of the books that I wrote is called The World's Best Known Marketing Secret. And in there I have what I call the hand-to-hand wombat plan, word of mouth business acquisition tactics. And at Entrepreneur, that website...
Wombat,
word of mouth business acquisition tactics. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I had a couple too many drinks when I...
I think that was a couple of glasses of wine right there.
Yeah. But it's all about a word-of-mouth marketing plan. So you need to sit down. And in that book, I have a template that people can use.
What's the name of that book?
The World's Best Known Marketing Secret.
I got to find that one on my shelf.
Yeah, you've got it there. And it's about building your business through word of mouth. And there's a whole series of things that you can do. Let me give you a handful of those briefly.
Sure, go for it.
You know, it's brief to say, but it takes a long time to do. The first is this whole thing about diversifying your networks, which I talk about. And I talk about six different types of networks. And if you don't want to get the book, you can find that up at the entrepreneur.com location I gave you earlier. Go to BNI.com and then click on the banner ad for Entrepreneur, and that'll take you there. You'll find an article there where I talk about how to diversify your networks and how many different kinds of networks are out there that you could participate in. The second thing is to develop your contact spheres or circle. The contact sphere is a group of business professionals who have a symbiotic relationship. They're in compatible, non-competitive professions. A lawyer, a CPA, or accountant, a financial planner, a banker, you put those people in a room for an hour, they're going to do business. My favorite is the caterer, the florist, the photographer, the travel agent. I call that the wedding mafia.
Yeah.
Once they bring you in, they don't let you out. So right. you create this context sphere of professions that you can work with, and you pass referrals back and forth to. Next, learn the techniques that are appropriate to the organizations that you belong to. The networking techniques that you would use at a chamber of commerce event are totally different than what you would use at a group like BNI. The networking techniques that you want to apply at BNI are totally different than you want to do for some service organization. And so learn what the appropriate techniques are for the various organizations that you belong to. Let's just take one technique to give you an example. If you're going to a group that you have a chance to stand up on a regular basis and give an introduction, say who you are and what you do, one of the things I recommend is to use what I call an LCD. Break your business down to its least or lowest common denominator. You have to remember that when you're doing presentations at networking groups, you're not there to close a sale. You're trying to train a sales force. You're trying to teach people how to refer you. And so if you break your business down into individual pieces, bite-sized pieces, and educate them regularly, you're teaching them how to listen for referrals for you. And so that's a, you know, I gave you 1 minute of something that takes 30 minutes to really explain, but that's one technique. So learn how to work your networks. One more thing is make sure to develop incentives for the referrals that you get. I talked about the survey and business by referral, even if it's something as simple as a thank you card. Here's another example. Chiropractors, after chiropractic offices, will put up a bulletin board that says, we want to thank the following patients who referred patients to us last month.
Yes.
What a great technique that
great
is.
Great technique.
It's a simple thank you. It didn't cost them hardly anything. Yet it really does work with many, many people. So these are three or four different specific techniques that should all be part of your word-of-mouth marketing plan. You should sit down and actually figure out what's part of your plan and then start to implement it over the next year so that you can begin to generate more and more of your business through referrals.
I really like that one-year time frame.
Yeah, and it
takes
time.
Time.
Yeah, it really does. And a lot of people think, oh, man, you know, there's so much that has to be done. I'm so far behind. You know, there's this old saying, what's the best time? It's an old Chinese proverb, actually. When is the best time to plant an oak tree? The answer is 25 years ago.
All right.
The second best time is today.
Today, yes.
And that's what this is all about. You know, if the people who are listening, they think, yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, but I haven't done this. And, oh, gosh, you know, that's a great idea. I haven't considered that. Today's the time to sit down and create. This is January. It's the beginning of the year. Sit down
Perfect
and create
time.
Your plan for the next 12 months as to how you're going to build your business.
Create your wombat.
You got it.
All right. I'm all in for the wombat. I'm going to do that myself. Well, Ivan, I want to do one more thing with you, because one of the things I love and admire about you is that every time I talk to you, you say to me, how can I help you? It's really a remarkable thing. I mean, every time I hang up the phone, I go, man, Ivan asked me how he can help me. That is unbelievable. It's a great guy, and you usually have a damn good idea when I ask for something. So I want to ask you, what do you need right now? Like, how can we help you? You know, the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise organization is, you know, has a very spiritual view on things. They talk about power of intention. And if you think about the size of the group we've got here right now, if we all put a little intention into you meeting your next objective, we could throw a lot of energy your way. And you've given us so much, we'd love to give something back. So what is it that you're working on how can we help?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. You know, things are great. My business is doing wonderful. I think the biggest project I've got going right now, and I haven't really told very many people about this, is I'm very close to signing an 8-book networking series that I'm negotiating with a publisher right now on. So you could put that intention out into the world and see how that goes, because I'm very close to signing. It's 8 books. All on networking. It's a networking series of books on different aspects of networking, and the first one would come out actually probably in less than a year.
And I think, and so listen up, everyone. Let's put our vibes out there that Ivan gets this deal, and I'm going to tell you why. Ivan is passionate about writing, about teaching, about helping people build their businesses, and if Ivan gets to write these books, we are all going to benefit. So us giving some intention, sending some love his way, will return to us many times over, because the books he's going to write are going to help all of us. So I'm for you, and
oh,
I think
you.
Everyone here is. I'm not just going to wish you luck. I'm going to wish you, you know, success, and I think it's going to happen.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty convinced it will as well.
That's awesome. So, what's one big idea you'd like to leave everyone with tonight?
I got two things, if I can leave two things. One is...
Well, you would always want to give extra, wouldn't you?
I'm going to try. Two things. One is, since this call is so much about passion, I do want to talk about that in wrapping up, and then I want to make a comment about networking. I highly recommend a book that I just saw. I saw an uncorrected proof of Janet and Chris Atwood's Passion Test book. It's an awesome book. And I really like it. I love the Passion Test that's in there. In my book, Masters of Success, I think one of the things I talk about, it's the keys to success, is having passion. Vince Lombardi Jr. was one of the contributing authors, and there's a quote in there from him about his father, where his father said, the legendary football coach Vince Lombardi, who once said, "I'd rather have a player on my team with 100% passion and 50% ability than a player with 100% ability and 50% passion. Because I can take that player with 50% ability and I can create a system around him so that he can be the best that he can be. It's that guy with 50% passion that's going to be out there waltzing around the field, being someplace where he shouldn't be, that's going to screw up my game. I'd rather have somebody with 100% passion and 50% ability." And I thought of that quote when I saw and read parts of the Passion Test book. So your listeners have a chance to see it, buy it, I'd really recommend it. It's good material because I'm a firm believer that you need to be passionate about what you're doing.
Yeah, Chris handed me a copy this weekend when I saw him, and I was flipping through it on the plane. It does look really, really good. So I think we're blessed to have gotten an early release. But certainly, you know, when the thing is out there, it's going to be a winner.
I think so. Yeah. And the second thing goes back to networking, and I think this is probably one of the most important things. If the listeners here tonight forget everything I've said, don't forget this, because it's the most important aspect of networking and building your business through word of mouth. Networking is more about farming than it is about hunting.
Oh.
It's about cultivating relationships with other business people. It's about building deep roots and connections. And you can build a business that is virtually 100% word of mouth and referrals if you go into this with the right mindset and you apply the right skill set. And you build relationships, you farm and cultivate relationships, you'll find that you can build your business by through friendships and having people who care about you help you. What a great way to do business, and I'm passionate about doing business that way.
That is really powerful, and as you were saying that, I was just thinking, it's like, have faith in yourself and share your love.
Yeah, absolutely. Share your knowledge and your love, and share your business and the opportunities that you have with other people. Philosophy of giver's gain. Help other people achieve what they want, and you can achieve what you want. I think it was Ralph
Ziegler.
Yeah, and that's right. And Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, you know, what lies before you and what lies behind you is nothing compared to what lies within you.
Mm.
And I really believe that if you take this idea of helping other people to build their business, that they will help you build your business. And there's just no better way to be successful, in my opinion.
Great. And I like this idea you said many times today. It's about going deep, you know, grow roots, go deep.
Yeah.
Don't give up. That's great. Ivan, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave. Chris, I appreciate it.
I'm certainly very excited about getting this much FaceTime with you, you know, and so that's pretty exciting. And, Chris, what would you like to add to this conversation?
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. And I'm just sitting here in awe, you know. And first I want to say for our listeners, if for those of you who are intrigued about coaching and Coachville, then be sure to go to www.coachville.com. And you'll see what Dave is up to. And Ivan, I'm just so inspired by you and this principle that you live by. And every time I interact with you and connect with you, you are the living expression of giver's gain. You're giving always. And thank you so much for your kind words about the Passion Test. It'll be released in May, and certainly we'll be letting our listeners know about that. But thank you so much for sharing these strategies that can help every one of us earn a living doing what we love.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was my pleasure.
Now, Ivan, I have one question.
Yeah.
You have written a number of books. For our listeners who want to learn about what we've been talking about tonight, I'm going to tell them where to go to do that. But which of your books would you suggest as the first one to start off for people who are just getting introduced to your work?
If you're interested in learning about networking and word-of-mouth marketing, I'd recommend The World's Best-Known Marketing Secret, which has been translated into about four different languages, so there's a few out there. If you're interested in something on success and self-development, I'd recommend Masters of Success.
Okay, great. So for our listeners, you can get both of those books by going to www.bni.com. That's B as in business, N as in network, I as in international, www.bni.com. And when you get there, on the left side, you'll see a link that says BNI Store. And if you click on that link, then you'll find these two books that Ivan just mentioned. One, The World's Best-Known Marketing Secrets, which is about word-of-mouth and referral marketing, and Masters of Success, which is Ivan's best-selling book on what are the principles of networking, the principles of success and of creating the life that you really want to live.
And for the international listeners, Chris, most of the Amazons worldwide also have it.
Okay, great. Wonderful. So that's Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So, Ivan, once again, thank you so much. It's been an honor and a privilege. And as for our listeners, as always, we have some extraordinary interviews coming up for you in the next few weeks. On February 7th, we interview award-winning speaker Les Brown. The National Speakers Association has given Les their highest speaking award, the Council of Peers Award, and Toastmasters International recognized him as one of the world's top five speakers. He's absolutely amazing to be on the line with, and you won't want to miss that call. He regularly speaks for companies like General Motors, Allstate, MassMutual, Mobil Oil, Northwest Airlines, and others. And on February 21st, our guest will be the co-author of all the Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul and Mother's Soul books, Jennifer Hawthorne, whose books have sold over 13 million copies. So be sure to join us for Les Brown in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, remember, your passions are your clues to your unique destiny. So choose in favor of your passions every day, and you will find yourself living a passionate, turned-on life. So I'm going to open up the lines and say goodnight. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.